welcome to the podcast, PCast. I'm your host, the only Tyler Peacock, flying solo on this one. It's the Final Fours, okay? We got the men's tournament Final Four this weekend. We got the women's Final Four this weekend. And, of course, it wouldn't be the podcast, PCast, if we didn't throw a little weird at the end of the episode. I'm going to go ahead and preview the best way I know how, the Frozen Four, the NCAA men's hockey tournament. They are down the four teams in their tournament. So the Final Fours on this one. Let's start with the men's tournament. We got four left. We got Alabama making their first ever Final Four trip in program history. We got Purdue making their first trip since 1980. We had NC State, first since 83. And then UConn, of course, trying to go back-to-back in the NCAA tournament, your defending champ. That's the four men's teams. How did they get there? Let's go quickly back and look at the Sweet 16. We'll start with the 11 seed NC State, the Wolfpack, this year's Cinderella. 5 days, five wins in the ACC tournament to even qualify to get the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. They weren't even a bubble team. But they get the auto bid, and here they are, and now they're going to Phoenix to the Final Four. They upset Marquette in the round of 16. Marquette, one of the most dreadful, worst shooting percentages you will ever see in a college basketball game from three. 12%, I believe it was. Statistically, one of the worst shooting performances in every college basketball game. D1 this year, I think it was the second worst by a team with the minimum of 30 or 25 attempts or 30 attempts. Saw that stat floating around the interwebs there. Just dreadful. But Marquette kept jacking them up. NC State got out to a quick start, rode the momentum, held on, and got to the Elite Eight. And then they take on Duke, who takes down Houston in an upset in the South Regional. And Duke, really good first half, ugly game, kind of disjointed, a lower scoring game. I think Duke was up 27-21 at halftime. Then NC State couldn't miss in the second half. Duke's defense fell apart. DJ Burns started cooking the Blue Devils, and Duke couldn't hit jack shit. I'm still looking for Tyrese Proctor. Was he in the game? I mean, dreadful for him. Filipowski wasn't great for Duke either. He fouled out. But all credit to NC State. They're here. They're in Phoenix. And they will take on the Midwest Regional champs, the number one seed in that region, the Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue, awesome beatdown of Gonzaga. Game was close until the second half. Then Purdue ran away from the Zags, and that one really impressive performance. And then a very tight-knit game against Tennessee in the regional final. Nip and tuck all way. Edie goes for 40 and 16. Don't connect. Tennessee's best player. You had both superheroes for both schools going head-to-head there for a while, almost bucket for bucket in their own way. But Purdue exercises their demons, and they get a trip to Phoenix. So now, 6:09 Eastern time on TBS on Saturday evening, NC State will take on Purdue in the first national semifinal of the Final Four. Right now, Purdue, 9.5-point favorites. 146 is your over-under total. I mean, I don't think, if you're listening to this, it's going to be in-depth, like, analysts here. I think a lot of us know, or we think we know, the national championship game, who the two teams are going to be in the national championship with this Final Four. But I will say this. I do give NC State a puncher's chance to pull this upset. Now, I'm not going to take the points, though. I'm not that confident. And that'll worry about Edie getting DJ Burns in foul trouble. But I think DJ Horn, I know Brendan Smith for Purdue is a very good guard. The sophomores really took his game up to a whole nother level this season. But I think DJ Horn might be the best guard in this game. And if Burns can somehow make Edie work a little bit on the defensive end, maybe get him in foul trouble, there's a path. Plus, Kevin Keats, he does a good job of kind of pressuring teams and switching up his defenses as well. NC State not very deep though, so foul trouble does worry me. They worry me, I should say. They're about seven deep, but I think Purdue ultimately wins this one and pulls away. I'd probably lay the points gun the head, but my betting angle for this, I like the under of 146. It seems like if you notice Purdue and NC State, both teams kind of get out to hot starts. Although NC State didn't against Duke, but kind of getting out to hot starts. And then the foul game starts to take control, at least on the Purdue side of things. In the second half, it kind of comes a little bit of a stalemate. The clock's not really moving, which you would think is bad for an under. But Purdue just living at the foul line a lot of these games late in the second half. They're not really shooting the three ball. And they're not really pushing the pace, and it becomes a half-court game. So I think I like the under here. 146, chop it around, but I think that would be my play. But I think we get Purdue moving on to Saturday or Monday night's national championship game. In the other semifinal, I mean, UConn is just on a fuck-you tour again in the NCAA tournament. San Diego State and UConn was close in the first half, and then they nuked them, beat them by 30. UConn, scary how good this team is, because if you saw the Elite Eight game where they destroyed Illinois, a 30-0 run started at the end of the first half, carried into the second half. 30-0 run. A 30-0 run. That, I mean, that's make-believe. If you didn't see it, you're like, no, there's no way. There's no way that happened. In an Elite Eight game, that happened. Against one of the best offenses of college basketball in Illinois. Just remarkable. The scary thing about UConn is they're dummying teams. They're a wagon. Absolutely a wagon. And they're not really shooting the three well. They didn't shoot the three well at all in the regional semifinal or the regional final. But they're the East Regional champs, obviously. Just blowing the competition away. And they look poised to go back-to-back here. I mean, that's the reality of it. The Illinois-Iowa State game, it was fun. I mean, Illinois didn't really hit their foul shots. Terrence Shannon got in foul trouble in that game, going back to that Sweet 16 matchup. Illinois probably would have won by double digits if they made their free throws or Shannon don't get in foul trouble, but I kind of allowed the Cyclones get back in that one, but too late, I should say, and Illinois was able to be the sacrificial lamb to UConn. So UConn in the Final Four, they will take on Alabama. First ever Final Four, like I said, in program history. They take out North Carolina in a tremendous Sweet 16 game. High scoring, Grant Nelson was unbelievable in the second half of that game. And they take out the one seed out there in the West region. Then they get a date with Clemson, who shocks Arizona. Arizona, they got on the Marquette plan in the regional semifinal, where, hey, we're going to shoot 1,000 threes. We're not going to make any of them. And our season's going to end. That's basically what they did. But all credit to Clemson, a team who early in the year showed a lot of promise. I liked them a lot. And then you kind of forgot about them in a conference play. They had some wins here or there in the ACC, but nothing really that made you think they're going to go on a deep run to the Elite Eight. And then, hell, man, when the tournament got here, they turned it up and came up a little bit short. But that game against Alabama, that was a fun one. Both teams just back to back. Just three balls all over the place in that one. But Alabama able to outlast them pretty much with their role players. So we get Alabama and UConn, 8:49 on TBS Saturday night is the advertised time. It'll be 40 minutes after the conclusion of the first semifinal. UConn, a 12-point favorite, 160.5 is your total in this one. I know UConn's been dominant. I think they play for the championship Monday night. But, man, I think the spread might be a couple points inflated. I thought they'd put it at 9.5 or 10. Maybe this is the UConn killing everybody tax that Vegas is making us all play. But with that being said, I don't know if I would take it. Maybe You grab Alabama on a live bet, catching 15 or 14, maybe even 13, maybe a full point up for the spread. But I think this thing might climb to 12.5 when it tips. I just think everybody's going to pound UConn, and that's going to be it. Total-wise, 160.5. I think if it gets over, Alabama's got a good shot to cover here. Now, Alabama's path to victory is very simple. They're not really going to guard well. Maybe they get UConn to continue not hitting threes like they haven't in the tournament, which is, like I said, scary. And then Alabama hits a ton of threes. I think Alabama's going to look to take 35, 40 threes as a team in this one. And if they hit, 15 to 20 of those, shoot somewhere in the 40s, low 40s to even 50% range of threes, then we got a game here. Now, it's in a fucking football stadium. That's how we've done the Final Four for two decades straight now, it seems like. The reality of that, or the idea of that becoming a reality, then bombing a bunch of threes and making them, and making this competitive and pulling off the upset, highly unlikely in a football stadium. Just the depth perception. I just think scoring is kind of, you got to be able to get the ball inside. But Alabama, they are an analytical team. Nate Oates has done a great job there getting this team to the Final Four for the first time. And this team really, threes or layups. That is, if you look at their shooting chart, it's unbelievable. They practice what they preach. Also, shout out Mark Sears. Could have been a great Bobcat. The next DJ Cooper, the next Geno Ford, Armand Bassett. I'm just thinking of guards. Ladrell Whitehead, Jeremy Fears, all the great OU guards throughout the years that I've had the fortune to see come through Athens and play at the Convocation Center and put on the green and white. Sears was here for a year. He's an Alabama kid, though. Took the bag and went to Alabama, and I mean, he's a all-SEC type guy and a starting point guard on a Final Four team. So, Mark, shout out to you. Can't really blame you. But, yeah, I think we get UConn-Purdue. That's the best case scenario for a decent championship game. I think Edie versus Donovan Clingan, the two towers going at it for Purdue and UConn, respectively. I think they'd put a 5.5 on that. UConn would be favored in that game. I think Purdue would have the best chance to take out UConn, but I don't think they're going to. I think UConn's going back to back. So Monday night 9:20, Cy on CBS. This is old man Peacock speaking here, but why the fuck we got to start this championship games so late? But yeah, UConn's going back to back. All right, let's go to the women's tournament. The Final Four is set there. NC State, yes, the 3 seed. NC State, they will take on the number 1 overall seed, much like the women's team, ended a long Final Four drought, first since 1999 for NC State. They will take on the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks, fourth straight Final Four trip for Dawn Staley and her ball club. And that is Friday night in Cleveland at a 7 Eastern time tip for the NCAA Women's Final Four, first national semifinal. Game link particulars, South Carolina, 11.5-point favorite, 139.5 is the total. Now, full disclosure, I haven't seen a second, maybe a few highlights during the tournament, haven't seen 1 second of NC State. But I think South Carolina's on a mission. Last year, they get beat by Iowa in the national semifinal. I think they're on a mission to get back to the championship game and kind of right that wrong. So I think I'd take South Carolina. But I might take NC State with the points here because it seems like South Carolina, at least in the regionals, play with their food a little bit. They only beat Indiana in the Sweet 16 by like 4 or 5. And then they beat Oregon State by 12, but they had to pull away late. That game was close throughout until the last 3 minutes of that one. But South Carolina, they're a wagon. They're undefeated. They're big. They're deep. And they're well coached. So I think the Gamecocks play for the championship Sunday afternoon. And then in the next semifinal, you got UConn. I think this is their like a million trip for the women. 28th or 29th, I think, to be exact, Final Four trip for the Huskies. They're the 3 seed, and they will take on the number 1 seed, Iowa, who, by the way, those 2 Elite 8 games Monday night, Iowa taking down LSU in a great game, fun, entertaining, up-and-down contest. Caitlin Clark, as advertised, obviously, was incredible. Angel Reese was incredible until she tweaked her ankle or knee or whatever it was. For LSU, but a fun one. But Iowa gets revenge on LSU, who beat them in last year's national championship game. But the Hawkeyes, back-to-back Final Fours for them. UConn making their million trip as they take down USC and Juju Watkins, the star freshman guard for the Trojans. But Paige Beckers was outstanding. Those two stars going tit-for-tat in that Elite Eight game was remarkable as well. So, Iowa's a 2.5-point favorite. 162.5 is the total. 9:30 Eastern Time advertised time on ESPN Friday night, half hour after the first semifinal game ends. So, tune in to the games Friday night, and you won't have to worry about the times. But anyway, I think I want to take the points here. Maybe you get UConn a little bit more on a live bet if Iowa gets out. To a quick start, try to get 5, 5.5 is the kind of range I'm looking to get UConn. I think UConn wins the game. Listen, Caitlin Clark's outstanding, great scorer, phenomenal passer. Would it be a storybook ending for her to get her team to the national championship? Sure, it would be, but I'm starting to believe in this UConn thing. They've done it before. They've doubled up before with the men's and women's in the same year. Gino Auriemma. Is he an asshole? Is he a dick? Do you hate him? Do you love him? Who's to say, really? I guess that's your opinion. But the thing I noticed when they beat USC the other night, the guy could still fucking coach. They had a game plan. And I don't think they're going to do the LSU game plan where they're going under screens, ball screens, and let Caitlin Clark get wide open shots. Not wait until very late when the game's kind of out of hand to start sending doubles towards Clark and making her get the ball out of her hands or denying her after she gets rid of it. I think UConn's going to have a plan. They're still talented. I think UConn is a live dog here. Short one at that, but I think UConn gets to the championship. And I think UConn has a chance to beat South Carolina. But I'm going to take South Carolina to cap out the undefeated season and cut down the nets in Cleveland Sunday, I believe 3 Eastern time. ESPN ABC is where you could catch the women's national championship game. So, yeah, there you go. There's 2 Final Fours previewed, the men's and the women's. Real quick, and then we'll get out of here. The NCAA hockey Frozen Four is set, and boy howdy, is this a stud-led field. Ton of NHL talent all over this thing, and this is like one of the most blue-bloodiest Frozen Fours in NCAA hockey history. You got the 3 seed Denver versus the 2 seed Boston U. The Terriers going up against the Pioneers in the first semifinal. In the second semifinal, Michigan, who wasn't ranked. They were the 3 seed in the region, but not one of the top 4 national seeds coming into the tournament. But the number 1 overall seed is Boston College. So the Wolverines and the Golden Eagles will play. Now, the thing is about the NCAA hockey tournament. They played the regionals Thursday through Sunday last week. Great games across all 4 regions, to be honest with you. Even the blowouts were entertaining. A lot of skill and stuff like that, but a ton of great games. But the hockey tournament, they take a week off. So April 11th on a Thursday, 5 Eastern time, number 3 Denver versus number 2 BU. And then 8:30 Eastern time, or about a half hour after the first semifinal game ends, will be Michigan versus number 1 BC. Let me tell you. Let me give you some credentials here. We're just going to go with a national championship counter. This is why, you know, plus the NHL talent that's with all these teams, really, is astonishing how loaded these college hockey teams have gotten. But Boston College has 5 national championships in their history. Boston University also 5 national championships. So if you're counting, that's combined 10 national championships there. And then Denver. They have 9. 9 national championships in program history. Oh, so does Michigan. Both are tied all time in the lead with 9 national titles apiece for Michigan and Denver. 28 national championships combined in this Frozen Four. I can't wait. Again, they lose a little momentum, I think, for taking a week off. But I believe it's the XL Center in St. Paul where the Wild play is where the Frozen Four will take place. But 2 semifinal games, April 11th on a Thursday, and then Saturday, April 13th, will be the national championship game. I feel like all year, and this is the chalk here, but I'm going to take number 1 and 2. Boston College and BU, it seems like they've been on a collision course to play each other in the national championship game. They've played against each other in the Bean Pot. They're in the same conference. BC's kind of handled them all year long, and I'm going to take the Boston College Golden Eagles to beat BU and win the national championship. But Denver and Michigan could very well easily win this tournament. BU could end up winning this thing. All 4 teams could win it, no duh, but the NCAA hockey tournament, especially since they've expanded it to 16 teams getting into it, this thing has been an absolute crapshoot. It really has. So, I mean, last year, Quinnipiac, who was a damn good team, a nationally seeded team, won an overtime thriller against Minnesota. Minnesota and Michigan, kind of the 2 co-favorites coming in to last year's Frozen Four. Minnesota able to take out BU. Quinnipiac beat Michigan in the semis. So BU and Michigan making return trips to the Frozen Four. Michigan actually 3 straight Frozen Four appearances. And maybe, just throwing this out here, this ain't my official prediction, I already gave it, maybe the football team at Michigan, 3 straight college football playoff appearances, finally cashed in, won the national championship in 2023. Michigan, 3rd straight Frozen Four. Could they cash in here in 2024? Also, the football team, 97, 2023, 25 years since spanning their last 2 national championships. Michigan hockey with 9 national titles. Haven't won one since 1998. 25 years is the stars aligning for the Wolverines. Is Denver destined to be the first to get the 10 titles? Is it BU getting that 6? Is it BC capping off a almost wire-to-wire number 1 season since they took control of the rankings? I don't think they've relinquished it. So, Frozen Four is going to be excited. Wanted to talk about it now because next week I'm going to get West Side Tommy back in the lab. I think we're going to do Masters and then UFC 300. Full fight card preview is the plan. So, a little bit of Masters, then the UFC 300 is in, what, 10, 11 days from now. It's the 13th of April. Huge fight card in Vegas, one of the most loaded fight cards, obviously, for 300. The UFC is going all out, so be on the lookout for that. And then the following week, I guess, you know, looking ahead, giving you what's in the plans in the future for future episodes. In a couple weeks, we're going to have to talk a little NHL and NBA playoffs, because those will be coming around the mountain as they come. So be on the lookout for that. But anyway, quick episode. Want to throw it up there and get it out to you for your listening pleasure. But we appreciate you listening to the Podcock PCast. Rate, review, subscribe, follow the show on Twitter and X and Facebook. Twitter is X. But anyway, both those handles on those platforms are at Podcock PCast, all one word. Follow the show on all major and minor podcasting platforms. Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. It's all over the place, baby. Just go dig it up, listen, share it with a friend and enemy. It all helps out here. So anyway, this has been the only Tyler Peacock for the Podcock Peacast, signing off, saying.